Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at me, crunk now.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show,
we shall. Thought I was hitting buttons by accident. Here we go, gentlemen. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. This month is again flying by. Of course, you are officially talking sports with the 12th man on this Thursday, May 11th. Before we get started, as we always like to do, I want to give a shout-out to all the moms out there. So happy Mother's Day to all moms out there. Obviously, we're going to talk about that as well as wrap up the show, too. But a lot of love for that. And let's get this party started. Before we do this, let me introduce my co-host. I am, as always, Andre Peterson. JQ, Rob, are you guys big ballers?
No.
Oh, you know we big ballers. We won't have no other way.
I am not.
So you're not big ballers, Rob? You gonna spend $400 to $500 for some shoes, bro?
Yeah. Just because I'm a big baller, don't mean I'm gonna go out and buy those tennis shoes by LeVar and Lonzo Ball.
No sir.
I mean, who are they?
Yeah, you got some knockoff Kobe.
I
had to throw it in there.
And those some ugly shoes too.
They are some ugly shoes. JQ didn't fall for the bait, though, man. But that's all good, man.
Yeah, no.
Let me check in with my co-host first and foremost. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm trying to be like Dre and get all that side hustle going in. I finally got a day off from a shout out to the G Braves, working the G Braves game. So I'm ready to hang out with my fellas and talk some sports, man. How you doing?
That's what's up, man. Good deal, man. Yeah, you're gonna be working, bro. But it's a good thing, man. It's a fun job, man. So I hope you are enjoying that too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Always gotta check in with the official big baller. Rob said he's ready to roll. Rob Ford, how you doing, sir?
Big baller, shot caller,
shot caller.
20-inch frames on the Impala.
Caller.
Hey, I left the rest of y'all to finish it.
Hey, I got you.
Want to be a caller. Want to be a baller.
Hey, I got you.
Shot caller.
Oh, man. Just ready to talk some sports, fellas. Everything good.
All right, let's get this party started. As always, let me throw out the numbers. If you want to reach out to your boys, the number is always 424-243-9519. Man, I just totally messed that up. 9519. I'll get myself together here. Follow us on Twitter. I was giving out my personal number. I got a little nervous there because I'm like, don't call me personally. It was almost there. If you want to reach out to the show via Twitter, we are at.
Oh yeah, you want to anytime you bash tonight, man? I'm calling you personally.
Yes, sir.
I'll give out your number. I'll give out the 6. I'll give out the 832 number.
Hey, finally.
I know. There's a couple of numbers that I was thinking about in my head. I got them all in the queue. And then last but not least, guys, go to facebook.com/12thmansports. You're talking sports with the 12th man. You will find us in that arena as well. All right. In spite of our
like us on Facebook, people.
There, yeah, like us on Facebook as well. Let's kind of jump into this. I guess we're going to talk some football right out the gate here, which is pretty interesting to me. But we kind of talk about what's happening kind of in the world of sports. And I guess Rob's trying to, like, you know, kind of dig that hole in here, you know, talking about are the Patriots the favorite to win the Super Bowl again next season? And go ahead, Rob,
shot.
I'll let you do your thing, man. I know. It's all good. I saw his post on Instagram, too, talking about, you know, where the LeBron. Yeah, I saw it. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. He went
oh,
way
well,
back
I don't
in
know
the
what
time
you're talking
machine
about.
For that. He went back
I know
to the
what you're talking
for
about.
That one.
I know what you're talking about.
He went
about.
To Unsolved Mysteries. You went to Unsolved Mysteries, bro. You went back into the time machine for Unsolved Mysteries. So I'm just going to put that out there.
He was searching, too, right? I got to find this one. I don't know what you're talking about. What?
That's just some research.
Oh, man. Oh, man. know. Y'all niggas.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
False accusations. <yeah.
laughs> False accusations. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll put you the fifth. He even spelled it out. The fifth. How you spelled it out, TQ?
4-5-5.
Well, obviously, we're getting close to the crunch here, the off-season period. We finished with the NFL draft. And it may be, there's usually a little small window of free agency after the draft. Teams try to figure out what needs they didn't get in the first wave of free agency and what needs they still don't have after the draft. And I think if you look at the evaluation of teams going at this point, in my personal opinion, you got to look at the Patriots as being the favorites again to repeat. And you look at not only the Brandon Cooks acquisition from the Saints, you know, you still got Julian Edelman and Chris Hogan that can cover everything underneath. And now you got somebody who, which they didn't have last year, somebody to stretch the defense. I think it even makes them a little bit more dangerous offensively. They get Mike Gillespie, who's one of the league leaders in rush per carry. They're getting him at the running back position from the Buffalo Bills. That's a solid acquisition. You're getting Coney Ealy from the Panthers as well. So you went out, and obviously you still got Dante Hightower.
There he is.
You still have Malcolm Butler on your team. You got Stephen Gilmore, cornerback from the Buffalo Bills as well. So you got to, unfortunately, you got to look at them as being the favorites again at this point going into the 2017-18 season.
Man.
Hey, Rob, so hold on, JQ, before you answer that real quick. So, Rob, are you going to say, are you going to ask next week about the Falcons, you know, going back to Super Bowl? You going to start with that one? I'm just asking a question.
Hey, you never know. We can talk about it now if you like.
Well, I'll let JQ, go ahead, JQ, do your answer.
You want to talk about your team?
Go ahead, JQ.
I just don't want to talk about them. I mean, if I'm being honest, I don't. But, I mean.
Truth hurts sometimes.
Yeah, you have to put him up there for everything to sign. The only thing I worry about is, you know, I think Malcolm Butler saw the money that the Saints were putting in front of him, and I don't know how long that marriage, if it makes it through the whole season. I don't know if it does. That might be the one position where you can go somewhere else and learn the scheme and know that this is what you do on these particular plays as the cornerback and still be okay. You know, it's not like trading a quarterback or a run, you know, an offensive position or a Mike linebacker in the middle of the season. So that one bears watching, but getting Hightower to take less money to stay, and with all the acquisitions that Rob talked about, let's put it this way, they didn't do anything to hurt themselves, you know, to not be in that conversation. That same team that they just won it with is basically coming back. So you have to put them in that upper echelon of group of teams you talk about that could win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah. I mean, there's some challenges, too. You know, obviously, you get Blunt back, you get a couple, you know, characters, like I said, but you do wonder, like you said, team chemistry is definitely a huge thing because now you got Malcolm Butler, who's arguably one of the better defenders in the secondary. So now he's like, you know, he wants to be a Saint. So you don't know how that's going to definitely, like you said, Jake, you kind of affect that. And the money's out there now, so he may have a different perspective. But you know, we'll see how that's going for sure, man. I mean, you got to like Brandon Cook, that's an explosive player. Like, he needed any more weapons. You know, Gronkowski's coming back again. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can see how they're definitely the favorites to win. But, you know, everyone seemed to get a little stronger. We'll talk about that as the show goes on, too, as well, man. So
everybody put money, put $20 on Vegas Best Bet your team. Why not? Put $20, $25 on it. You should.
I will.
What if they do it and you make $450? Why not?
Yep.
Because you got those upper teams, you know, being heavy so favored so heavily that you can probably put a little bit of money in your team and maybe, you know, I'm sorry for advocating the gambling, but it's true. You spend $25 on a 12 pack, you know, like, you know.
Yeah. I'll say too, we didn't talk about the rankings last week. So right now the Falcons, we were at number 2 in the power rankings, so it's good to get a little love, you know, from the national folks and yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's going to get stronger, like we talked about in the division. But, you know, I think we added some pieces too, man. So right now, offensively, you got some question marks and you want to get better. So if you can get over that whole, like, loss, then I think we can definitely move back into the Super Bowl as well. I mean, you know, obviously, like we added some depth. We added some folks from our favorite university, LSU. So
odds are against you, though.
All is good.
Odds are. I'm trying
to take some shots.
The Super Bowl losers don't really do well next year. I'm just saying, Super Bowl losers don't normally do well the next year. That's just a lot of stats.
Oh, I know. I mean, there's a lot of stats as well. So, I mean, like I said, it's going to be up for us to prove because we got the targeter back. You know, we didn't lose as many pieces. We added some pieces. You know, as always, you know, maybe we're not like the Patriots and, you know, adding, you know, Brandon Cook type of players. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, like I said, I like the mentality of DQ.
Yeah.
I like Julio. You got to play the games. You know, that schedule was supposedly tough, and we didn't have any expectations. I did not expect us to hit the Super Bowl, honestly. So if you told me we'd hit Super Bowl second year, I'd look at you like you were crazy. So, but now, you know, you got to like where we're going with that, too. So, anyway, I'm not going to
look. I know we didn't talk about, you know, what the Falcons did in the draft last week. And as much as I dislike the Falcons, I have them at the moment as number two in the power rankings as well. So, I mean, I'm objective in my views as much as possible. And like I said, as much as I dislike them, right now I have to put them at number two. And, you know, moving up to number 26 to get Tack McKinley, even with his antics and at the draft. But I thought that was a solid move. I had him somewhere around 20, 21 in the draft, and you get him at 26. Obviously, you had to trade up to get him, so you got to give up something to get something. But I thought that was a solid move. And, of course, getting Duke Riley I thought was a solid move, too. Solid at the weak side linebacker position. Another New Orleans guy, man. You get Deion Jones from New Orleans, and you get Duke Riley from New Orleans, man.
Right.
I'll tell you.
I like you got Duke Riley. I'm sure you do. Go ahead.
Hey, it's like you like all your Ohio State players, man. Come on.
You call me out, too.
It's not a show that go by weekly when you don't mention Ohio State.
You're right.
I hadn't even mentioned LSU. Andre did.
I'm gonna let Rob
talk about LSU because this is our breeding ground for all the Falcon players. So I'm like, yo, what did you get?
I have more LSU players than the Saints do.
I'm gonna let Rob go because he knows.
You better listen to Rob.
Yeah, he knows about
Ohio State players. Yep, there it is.
Yeah, Saints is Columbus South.
What about that running back, JQ? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's going to give me the
Atlanta and Tampa Bay is LSU East, and Arizona is LSU West. But, yeah, getting back to the Falcons, I mean, right now I have to put them in a number two position, too. I like the picks of Tack McKinley and Duke Riley. I think they're perfect guys. What's your head coach name again?
Our head coach, Rob?
Dan Quinn. I threw a blank all of a sudden. I'm sorry. Yeah, Dan Quinn.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect for his defensive philosophy,
those type of players.
Flight, so
man.
Perfect for his defensive philosophy. And the only other draft pick I'll highlight for the Falcons that I really like is underrated guy, Brian Hill, running back from Wyoming. Even though a running back is kind of a strength for the Falcons, they add some depth at that position. You get Sean Harlow as an interior guy from Oregon State, and that's a position of need for the Falcons. So we'll see if he can help them in that particular area, or they may have to look for some free agency help to get some more interior offensive line help.
Hugh Thornton literally retired after we signed him, and Sean Harlow was actually – his dad was a Patriot, so way for us to hurt the Patriots, you know, again – ass wipes. Sorry. But that's one of the conversations. I'm sorry. That's the first time I did it. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I actually get a Falcon draft of A-.
Go ahead, Dre. I think I've heard you cuss. That's what I said. Whoa. Uh-oh. Go ahead.
I'm not sorry.
Me and Rob cuss on a regular basis.
Andre is going to get a FCC fine.
Here we go. Well, we would have been
had a fun. They can't record
five. Do you have anything to add to that, JQ?
Go ahead.
I just love you talking about my Falcons, so, you know, what can I say, man? So, all is well.
Yeah, man, don't stall the topic, man. Keep the show moving.
Uh-oh.
as you know, Rob, whenever you mess with me, Rob, you know, that's what happens, man. So I'm just giving you the real, bro. So, you know, you're the one that, like,
hoping you say his memo on that, JQ, just so you keep talking about the Falcons.
He fired all those shots on Instagram, Facebook. You think I'm going to sit here and just take it, man? I know how to get you back, bro. Just say, you know, keep talking about Falcons and LSU, you know, my training ground, man.
Oh,
it's all
my
good,
goodness.
Man. Friendly fire, bro.
I'm good. It's hilarious.
All right. This is a pretty interesting topic in the fact that, I mean, I was looking, you see that Blaine Gabbert got signed by the Cardinals, but Colin Kaepernick is still without a job. So I guess the question is, has he played his last down in the NFL? Is he going to have to go the route of Jay Cutler? But that's a very, very interesting question, too. Mm. So I'm going to throw it to you, JQ, kind of start tell us your thoughts if you think he's played his last down in the NFL.
Oh, that is tough. And I was trying to reserve judgment as things kept happening to, you know, we talked about it some. But once Blaine Gabbert gets signed, I mean, I know he supposedly beat out Kaepernick. But come on, man. It's obvious at this point that it's less about football ability and more about social issues the way he has happening. And I think if you watch what he's doing, what's happening with him, I think he's resigned to the fact that he probably has. And it's sad that that's happened. And you talk about Jay Cutler, I don't think that he gets that same kind of love that Romo and Cutler has gotten. He's not moving to anybody's first position job. You know, that's not happening. If he wants to do that, which I don't think he does, honestly, maybe to earn a living to keep up with his social issues and what he's doing, you know, and shout out to him for giving the homeless guys, you know, suits and whatnot, or I mean the parolees. But
wow,
it's beyond, I think, if you're being honest with yourself, it's beyond football talent at this point for him in NFL teams. I really do. And I told you about the ownership and how that happens with the other NFL teams, so I won't rehash it. But it's sad, you know, a dude that just went to the Super Bowl, and we still talk about Johnny Manziel working out with the Wyoming quarterback, and you know, Gabbert being signed is like, really, these dudes haven't done anything. This dude has been to a Super Bowl. And at that point, when he's not getting any job offers, you know what it is.
Wow. Rob, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, I totally agree with JQ on this one. It's obvious. Stevie Wonder can see this. Ray Charles, too. But
right.
It's real obvious why Colin Kaepernick is not on the NFL roster. It's blatant. And you look at some of the guys that JQ mentioned as getting NFL contracts, it's unbelievable. And it's unfortunate. You know, whether we agree with him or not, he stood up for something that he believed in. And I think it's unfortunate that he's been blackballed by the NFL as far as getting another job. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think at some point somebody's going to break down and give him an opportunity.
You know who it's going to be. You know
Raiders?
Who it's going to be. Come on, man. Okay.
I know this is kind of jumping the gun on one of our topics, but for me, if you look at teams that would be a good fit for him, I got to think the Seahawks backing up Russell Wilson could be a good opportunity for him going to somewhere like that. And if you're the New York Jets, you got to give them a chance. I mean, you don't really have a proven quarterback on that roster.
That's true.
Not a single. I mean, Josh McCown, I mean, come on, man, NFL journeyman.
You're still missing it.
He's
you
talking
know
about
who
a
it
team
is.
That,
yeah, you're right.
That's a team that could really give him a shot. Right now, you didn't really draft a quarterback if you're the New York Jets, and you got a bunch of unproven quarterbacks on your roster. That's a team that could give him a shot, and he could possibly even be a starter going there. So for me, those are teams that if I'm the general manager of those teams, those would be the two teams I would think of, Seahawks and the New York Jets.
You know where I'm going, don't you? You know exactly where I'm going.
I think I have an idea.
It's the Cincinnati Bengals and Marvin Lewis.
Oh!
And it is. And follow me on this. A.J. McCarron is going to the last year of his deal. They talk about trading because they're trying to get something for nothing because he's going to walk away because they're committed to Andy Dalton. So you say that and you're looking for a second quarterback. before they drafted Andy Dalton in the same draft, Mike Brown wanted Colin Kaepernick. And Gruden talked him out of it to getting Andy Dalton. And that's a true story. So you're talking about it lining up, and we all know that Cincinnati is a home for wayward souls, whether it's true or imagined. That's what they do. Don't be surprised if it's not the Cincinnati Bengals. And what I tell you is absolutely the truth, that they were taking one of those two quarterbacks, and Gruden talked Mike Brown out of Colin Kaepernick and into Andy Dalton.
All right. JQ has spoken, man. So we'll see. I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you think that's a good fit, bad fit? Tell us, what do you think of that, if that does materialize, JQ?
I mean, he's got Super Bowl, experience, and maybe he can rub some of that off of there and bring some more to a situation. As long as he goes in there and knows he's the backup, even though you know how I feel about Andy not necessarily should have the lock on the job, and he does and keep his nose clean, I think that's a good pickup for them. But him and Marvin Lewis, I mean, to me, that's a match made in heaven. You know how Marvin Lewis is. I'm surprised seeing that all over it already. I really am.
Gotcha. All right, sir. We'll see again, like the wayward souls. I mean, we're gonna hold on to that, man. So if he signs, man, I'm gonna give you a lot of props, bro. I'm like, man, today is May the 11th. JQ called it, man. That's awesome. All right,
yeah.
So we're still on quarterbacks, guys. And so I guess a lot of love for I'm from Indy, so I gotta show some love to Indianapolis Colts. So it's interesting. So they've been having
USA.
A huge challenge. I don't claim the whole USA. That's where I'm from. I'm just telling you, that's like my hometown. So I have a side interest in making sure that they're sort of successful. But, they've been trying to rebuild the Colts for a minute now, and they fired their GM. And I guess, number one, that's, a number one good thing as far as building a contender, getting somebody that actually knows what he's doing. But what do they need to do to build a contender around Andrew Luck? So the floor is yours, Rob. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, if you look at the Colts, they've struggled on the offensive line for quite some time. They've been trying to fix it for years now, and Andrew Luck has really been taking a beating for the most part of his early career. And the first couple of years, his mobility, bought him a lot of times, but now he's starting to get banged up a little bit. So they really have to get that offensive line intact. And another thing is they got to get the running game intact too. Running game is the quarterback's best friend. And obviously the offensive line is a part of that as well. So you got to get that offensive line, and you got to get the running game, get them more balance in the offense to help protect Andrew Luck. And then also you got to look at the defensive side of the football. The secondary has been suspect. They haven't been able to rush the passer. There's been a lot of weaknesses on this football team. And obviously when you look at what they did in the draft, they got an offensive lineman in the fourth round, from USC, Zach Bonner. So I think in the running back position, Frank Gore is old and he's beat up. And, based on value, they had a very solid draft. They get Malik Hooker, at 15, which is a guy that could have easily been in the top 10 spot. You get Quincy Wilson, another corner. So it really helped possibly solidify their secondary issues with getting Malik Hooker and Quincy Wilson. And a guy who I think is a real sleeper, Terrell Basham from Ohio, a defensive end in the third round. I think he can be a real sleeper or a real steal in this draft as far as being a rushing passer. Even if he's just in on passing downs, he could really help him. They did get Marlon Mack, running back from South Florida, probably going to be just a guy that's going to help them from a depth standpoint. So when you look at this draft, their first three picks, they really attacked the defensive side of the football. But they still have to see what they can figure out from the offensive line standpoint and improving their running game standpoint to help Andrew Luck. So obviously a quarterback's best friend, protection, running game, good defense.
Hey, man, Trent Richardson was right there for them too, man. I don't know what happened with that one, man. Hamburgers are his best friends, man, But JQ,
yours
is yours, bro.
Yeah, he was out there. He was living that lifestyle. He was tripping. There's there's not really a whole bunch of more on top of what I just said. That's absolutely the truth. You got Allen, you got T.Y. Hilton, you got Moncrief, you got Phillip from Miami as well. You got pieces around him, but that the thing about it, and we don't give Andy Reid a lot of love because, you know, he didn't win the Super Bowls in Philadelphia, but his drafts and what he did in terms of defensive line, offensive line, that's where Indianapolis is lacking. And it was the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But they've addressed some of that during the draft. But that the trench play is where they're losing. They aren't able to push anybody off the ball to run the ball when you need third and two and third and three to get it consistently. And they don't have the defense to stop a deep team from getting third and three and third and two consistently. And that's where they're losing. And you look at that division where Jacksonville's gotten a lot younger and athletic on the defensive line. You look at J.J. Watt in that defensive line in Houston. Like, you've got things that you have to take care of. And it's until they get that offensive line established to be able to push those guys off the ball, then they're going to still be a 7-9, 8-8 team because they have luck and they got a lot of passing weapons, but they don't have a lot of time to get to those passing weapons.
Yep. Good call, man.
You may remember this guy by the name of Leroy Horde, running back from Michigan. You remember him?
Yeah, of course I do. Bump him. Why are we talking about him?
Just when you said that, I just kind of thought of something when you said the third and two situations. Leroy Horde used to have a famous quote when he was in the NFL. When you need 3 yards, I get you 3 yards. When you need 6 yards, I get you 3 yards. So no matter
the only thing he gets was three yards.
Hey, man, you gotta know, you gotta have a sober, you gotta have a sober opinion of yourself, man. That's good. But no, I mean, like I said, definitely good calls on that, man. And like I said, man, I am curious as far as what happens with the Colts because, you know, I wasn't quite sure if it was just like the offensive stuff. There's a lot of things that are happening, which I do think now that Chuck Pagano should be on the hot seat because you have a talented – you've got like half the battle. You got a quarterback. You know, that's what half the teams in the league want. You know, we're going to need a quarterback. Cleveland would love to be in that situation. But now, you know, you haven't quite put the right pieces. They need an offensive line, number one. You got to protect your investment. And then you got to get strong defensively, you know. So all those pieces, Rob, as you said, JQ, you know, get that running. I mean, we shouldn't be having these challenges with the running back. You should have a running back, you know what I'm saying? As great as, you know, having the Edgerrin James, just get it back, and that's going to help Andrew Luck out tremendously because you already got the weapons, like you talked about, T.Y. Hilton's and, you know, whatever. So get that man some protection, get him a defense, and it'll be a different tune as well in Indy and, you know, talk about that. But good call here. All right, let's talk about some remaining free agent fits. Now, I'm going to throw these names out. You guys can kind of call out. And we got about 17 minutes here, so we got a little bit of time to discuss this, man. So before we jump into OT and talk about a couple things as well as NBA playoff updates and whatnot, but try to be as pretty concise as possible if you guys can because we do have a lot of names to get here too. So first and foremost, Rob, start off with LeGarrette Blount. I did think he re-signed with the Patriots, but I could be off on that. So go ahead with that one, sir.
Tender.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount, I'm going to say, I think obviously going back to Patriots is still a good option. And another team to look at here that I think needs like a workhorse back will be the Detroit Lions. That's something they weren't able to address in the draft as well. So I think they have a lot of slashing type running backs, but not that workhorse kind of running back.
Your thoughts on LeGarrette Blount, JQ?
Yeah, that's a good call. I think Abdullah is more suited to be a third down kind of change of pace back. The Giants. I mean, the Perkins, we still don't know yet, and I know they just drafted a running back, and his name forgets me, but Andre Williams is not the guy for them either. And they had talks with LeGarrette Blount before they drafted that running back in the draft. But that's another one, too. I think those are his two best spots. Once the Patriots signed Gillespie from the Buffalo Bills, I think LeGarrette Blount's time was over in New England.
Yeah, and the Giants, that running back they drafted was Wayne Gellman from Clemson.
There you go.
Yeah, good call. All right, Rob, let's keep it going. We already talked about Colin, so I think we don't need to talk about that. You gave us your player for that, too, if I'm not mistaken, right? We talked about Colin enough. All right, Jarius Byrd. Wow, he's already on the list here, so I'll let Rob talk about this one, man.
Well, from Jarius Byrd, only team, obviously, that I think he can possibly go back and maybe help out a little bit will be the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott, you got a rookie head coach there. That's where Jarius Byrd had most of his success, or really all of his success when he was in the NFL. He didn't have any with the Saints. And so I think you go back, you can help a rookie head coach. You can maybe help coach that young team He did show some flashes toward the end of last season. He may be recovering from some of those injuries. But to me, that's about the only situation that I think he can possibly go and help out.
Good stuff.
It depends
okay.
on where it depends. It depends on what he's willing to accept. I think you can name so many teams like a Cleveland Browns if he's going to be a nickel or a dime kind of piece position player. But he has to understand that he's no longer a 40-snap, 50-snap kind of player. He's a sub-package kind of player. So if he accepts that, he can go to a lot of places in that role. But I agree with Rob in terms of what he's looking for if he wants to play those snaps, yeah, going back to Buffalo. All right.
Yep. Oh, well, my bad. All right. I'm sorry. My mic is here. I'm over here, like, hitting my butt. No, my mic is here. I'm sorry. All right. Moving on. But I'm sitting here talking like, my mic. All right. Let's talk about who. This is amazing how, you know, if you would have told me that Revis would be, like, on this list, I would have thought, I mean, not the fact that I know his play has been, like, kind of downgraded, but the fact that this guy's on here. So tell me about what you think about Revis. And kick us off too. So go ahead, Rob. Kick us off this one. This is interesting. I'm going to sit back for this one, man. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Father Time catches up with you, especially in the NFL, especially at the position he plays, through cornerback, and plus after the injuries that he's had as well. But he could possibly still help a team or two. I think even though the Patriots have Malcolm Butler and Stephen Gilman, I think that could be another fit. Bill Belichick just has the unique ability is putting guys in the right places to perform. You saw the difference with Brandon Browner when he was with the Patriots compared to when he was with the Saints. And Bill Belichick just has that unique ability of putting guys in the positions to succeed. And he may be able to use Darrelle Revis in that type of situation. We just talked about the Indianapolis Colts, even though they did, you know, address a lot of the secondary issues. He could possibly help them out for depth purposes. And you can even look at my New Orleans Saints, another team. Obviously, you get Marshawn Lattimore, but some of your top corners from last year coming off an injury, if you're looking at the Saints and Delvin Bro and also P.J. Williams, both coming off of injury. So, you have to wonder, what kind of shape they're going to be going into the season, too. So, possibly could help out with some depth.
All right, Revis Island, JQ, your thoughts, man.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing for Jarius Bird. It depends on what role they're willing to take. If they just want to play for the love of the game or because they need money if they got a lot of kids, that is true. They can go to a lot of places and like Rob said, fill depth in that nickel and corner kind of nickel and dime kind of a role if they wanted to. This one is not a great fit because he is more of a press corner, Revis is, but I think as he's slowed down, he's going to have to learn how to adapt to more of a zone scheme. And two teams stick out with me with another dominant corner, if he's willing to be cool, is like a Washington, even though Breland is good, you can put him in the slot, and a Seattle team that's still trying to gear up with the teams they have to try to make it to it. If he's willing to understand those concepts and have a Richard Sherman in Seattle, you know what I mean, to kind of be able to give him that kind of piece, if he's able to take that kind of instruction, so to speak, and play with another dominant kind of secondary, if you get Cam Chancellor healthy and Earl Thomas healthy with Sherman, because she is blown his ACL, I believe. You know that could work for him, but I don't think he is no longer a press corner. He's got to be an old dog to learn some new tricks to learn how to play in more of a zone scheme. If he can do that and stay healthy, he can help a lot of teams actually.
Yeah, might even have position consider position change too.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call. All right, guys, 11 minutes here. Let's talk about Gary Barnage. You go ahead, Rob.
I think the only team that I can think of that could possibly be a good fit for him coming from Cleveland would be the Jets. And although the Jets quarterback situation is still a little bit shaky, well, a lot shaky, but I think as far as the fit and the team that can use a weapon at the tight end position, that's a team that I can think of. And a good tight end, of course, could be any quarterback's best friend. And so to me, that was one of the few fits that I could find for Gary.
Gotcha. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, they did draft Jordan Leggett from Clemson in the fifth round, but I still think he could be a good fit for him.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? And, I'm just going to go off the radar with it. And for me, maybe at Kansas City, if they look up and say, okay, Patrick Mahomes a couple years down the road, but we're going to still roll with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is who he is at this point. He's going to want to run the ball, but you got Travis Kelce. But do you go to a more of a New England kind of mindset, and you got Macklin and you got Kelce? Oh, and then I put Barnes on there, and I go to a more two tight end power run game and just split my tight ends off. And then when you do that, I take my shots with Macklin. Do you do that if you're Andy Reid? He hasn't normally done that, but his quarterback situation and the way that Alex Smith likes to play, where you give him that kind of Hernandez-Gronk kind of option, and then you put, you know, Macklin up there on the outside, I think that plays more to Alex Smith's strength for Kansas City moving forward. So, you know, and then he just drafts his running back as well. I just feel like that sits in that middle of the field, and then take our shots with Macklin. We want to kind of how we're going to play and play good defense. I think for Kansas City, if they chose to do that, I think that'd be a good fit.
I'm going to get you, JQ. Keep it succinct, man. Good call. Good call, bro. I love it.
Sorry.
I love it. I love it. I love it. No, that was a great analysis, bro. I love it. All right. We got about 9 minutes here, so let's talk about the last couple names here. Like I said, we got to get through these. I'm very interested about your thoughts about Nick Mangold, Rob. So tell us about this, and stay tuned, JQ. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, the Nick Mangold one was kind of easy for me, and it's the Saints. You look at Mac Unger, just had a foot injury here for the Saints just here about a week or so ago, and latest report says he's going to be out until sometime in the preseason. So I think if you're Saints, you want to give yourself some kind of insurance here at the center position. And right now you have Jack Allen, who was on a practice squad, who, JQ, you may remember from Michigan State as a starting center. And then also Senio Calamente, who has been a reserve backup guard and center for the Saints. So I think if you're the Saints, you need to get some insurance here with Nick Mangold, just in case, you know, about Max Unger, even though right now he's due to be back for the preseason.
Go ahead, JQ.
If he's willing to position himself to a guard, I also like him for the Packers as well, with a veteran quarterback with Aaron Rodgers and a chance to try to go out on top and get a ring. That's outside of that. But, yeah, I think the Saints, it just seems preordained.
Yeah, that's a good call, as much as I
and
hate to do,
and he's
that,
Ohio
man,
State.
Because...
Oh, yeah, you got to go to Ohio State.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I think that'll work. I think, yeah, if you get, like, Sean Payton – excuse me, and Drew Brees kind of working on him. Yeah, it's a great move, man. Like I said, as much as I hate it for the Falcons, because I think he's got a little something to take. I love the fact that he can play both, you know, center guard positions, like you said, JQ. So good call, man. You know, I just wish he was not going to the Saints. All right, let's talk about Perry Riley.
Well, nothing, you know, there's no talk of him going to the Saints. That's just a we'll see.
A fit need.
Want to put that into the universe, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, go ahead, man.
It's already out there.
You know, congratulate.
I'm not hating. I'm just telling you, I say what I don't like. Mr. Instagram, go ahead. Perry Riley.
This one was an interesting one for me. But the two teams that came to mind for Perry Riley were the Giants and the Colts. The Giants still have a need at the linebacker position. And we talked about the Colts, you know, in the draft, mostly paying close attention to their pass rush and their secondary. But, you know, they still need every level of the defense. And he could possibly be a nice role player for them, whether playing strong side or the weak side position. He has that kind of flexibility.
I
totally agree.
Yeah, that's it. Anything you want to add to that?
Draft linebacker.
Yeah, I agree. That's two good spots.
Another underrated player, Elvis Dumervil. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, if he have anything left in the tank from a pass rushing standpoint, we can go back to the Colts. We can go to my Saints.
Everybody.
We didn't really draft a pass rusher to the third round. And then you can also go to even the Falcons. Even though they got Tack McKinley, they could possibly be in need of another pass rusher as well.
Everybody. If he's got anything left in the tank and get off the edge and get rush the passer, everybody.
Wow.
We'll take
good
that
call.
Dude. It's true.
Good call. Ryan Clady. This guy's been surprising, man. Promising he got injured, man. So I am going to let you start off with these last couple of names, if you don't mind, JQ. So your thoughts about about Ryan Clady.
Same thing. If he's got anything left in the tank, everybody needs offensive line help, even if he's a swing tackle kind of thing where he doesn't play all the snaps, but somebody gets hurt and he starts three games. Everybody. Especially Seattle as well, because they need for real help on the offensive line. We talk about Indianapolis. You talk about keeping Andrew Luck upright. You got to keep Russell Wilson upright as well. So it's the same thing. These guys are out there for reasons. They will allow themselves to be versatile and not have to make starter money and be the man. They can go to a lot of places.
Wow. Rob?
Actually, JQ said my two teams. I said Seattle and Indianapolis, and he basically already discussed why.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Jason McCourty. Kick it off, JQ.
I mean, I'm a broken record. I mean, yeah, Indianapolis again and Seattle. Yeah. I mean, it's true because both of those teams, they have a glaring hole. Vontae Davis can't cover both sides of the field. Richard Sherman can't cover both sides of the field. You're talking about somebody that's older and wants to go somewhere where they feel like they get a good franchise quarterback and a chance to win. And plus, you know, again, anywhere. At this point, if they allow themselves to be versatile, you get into camp and realize that this dude is not making it at cornerback for you, he's going to get a call.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, a couple other teams you can look at here from the cornerback position. There's the Dallas Cowboys. They lost their both of their starting corners. Now they did draft corners in the second and third round of this draft. But, you know, as much as you want to hope the rookies can come in and play right away, you need some veteran experience just in case. So I think you got to put the Cowboys down here. You got to put the Steelers down here. And then we already talked about the Colts and the Saints.
Yep. Good call. All right, gentlemen, we got 3 minutes and 20-something seconds. So let's get through the last couple of names here. Brandon Flowers and Victor Cruz. So, Rob, Brandon Flowers.
Well, Brandon Flowers is a corner, so we're just going to say the same teams that we talked about for that lead cornerback.
Saints, bro.
And Victor
Saints,
Cruz.
Saints.
You know, if you have a team, I'm going to say the Carolina
Ravens.
Panthers. Could be a fit. The Baltimore Ravens could be a fit. And I'm going to even say the Saints as well. You trade Brandon Cooks. I mean, obviously you get Ted Ginn Jr. in return, but I would still be looking for some extra insurance, even though you're looking at Michael Thomas and Willie Snead being your starting receivers. I would see what he has left in the tank.
All right, yep. JQ, you got 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds, to OT. Victor Cruz.
No, I agree. I my team was the Baltimore Ravens. I think he's a good fit for the Ravens with Flacco and losing Steve Smith. You bring that veteran back in if he's got anything in the tank. I hate it, but it's a good pickup for him.
10 seconds, Rob.
I said my team's Victor Cruz.
That's right. Okay, cool. All right. Go ahead and set up the OT portion, Rob, and we'll get this moving here. So go ahead, boss.
OT, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get ready to go into our OT portion. We got a snippet of baseball. We got some NBA coverage that we're going to be talking about here in the OT portion, so you don't want to miss it. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So please click on the same link to get our NBA and Major League Baseball coverage. You click on the same link on tomorrow, you will be able to hear it. So make sure you send us some feedback on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know you like the show. Let us know what you agree with. And let us know what you disagree with. Good night, people.
Excited.
All right,
thank
you.
Playing good ball. Excited about my Reds, man. As long as they're going to play somewhat decent, I'm going to be excited. And go Chargers.
Go Chargers. That's Chargers. I love it. I am on Burgundy. All right, let's keep it moving. We're having fun with this too, so we're still in this. America, hope you had fun today. Like I said, we'll shout out to moms, Happy Mother's Day, all that fun stuff. And then again, we'll wrap up the show too. So we got a little bit more time. We got it in a minute. That was pretty succinct, Rob. Good job. And we talked. Did everyone talk about Victor Cruz? Did you get your thing in there? Did you get yours in there?
Yeah.
Too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Good deal. So make sure we're cutting.
Let me pay attention.
No, 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 no.
Yeah,
no, 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 no. There's other things happening in the background. And I thought that I know that we talked about he was visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know that he's visiting the Bears too. Which I think is pretty interesting too, man. So
that's
keep an eye on that situation too, gentlemen.
Bears, another one.
Yeah. Another one I thought about too. So that would be an interesting fit too. All right. There's some word on the street here that the 49ers are trying to trade Navarro Bowman. Man, let's just talk about this, JQ. Yeah, I'll let you have this, man. Go ahead, man.
Well, also you got to remember, they just signed him to like a 7-year deal, and he was in the first year of the deal when he blew it. So he blew his knee out. So nobody's trading for that contract right now anyway. So you're going to have to – I don't even know how they would manage that. But plus, Navarro Bowman is the heart and soul of that team. If you're John Lynch and Shanahan, you do not want to get rid of Bowman. He's going to be your biggest ally if you're talking the right thing in the locker room. That dude will rally around it and get those dudes ready to play. And there's been times where they were undermanned and he had that defense playing way above their head. And you notice when he got hurt, they went totally into the crapper. You do not trade that dude. You just don't do it. You keep him in the locker room, even if he's not playing, to keep those dudes pumped and keep them on the right course. You just don't do it.
Rob Ford.
Well, yeah, I mean, as JQ mentioned, he's the heart and soul of what's left of a 49ers team. And so, I mean, he's probably one of the few pieces that's left of that organization that's worth something. So unless the 49ers are just looking to totally tear the whole organization down and start from scratch, and which is basically what they're doing anyway. But,
dang.
You know, sorry for our listeners in the Bay Area. But you still don't have a quarterback if you're that team. And so, I mean, that could be the only reason why I could think of they would be trying to trade him to get more assets to try to completely rebuild.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, he's the heart and soul of what's left of that team. Unless he's just barking at the door and say, please trade me to a contender. You know, I'm getting close to the latter years of my career. You know, if he's coming in there, if the guy's not happy, most of the time these organizations are going to make him happy and get him to where, you know, what they want to be. That's the only thing I can see of.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, guys, because I think about this because it could have been a situation where they're trying to deny these reports, kind of similar to what happened with Richard Sherman. I mean, there's probably been some talking, but like you said, I mean, you know, and he's like, hey, what do you think about this? But, again, you do wonder with the fact that you're trying to, like, you know, maybe start fresh, as you said, Rob, that, you know, maybe kind of like, hey, you know, if you're not happy or whatever's in locker room, we don't know certain things. That's the only thing I can think about. You know, I know they drafted Logan Foster. I know. I'm with you. That's a good call too, JK. But I'm saying there's a couple things. Something ain't adding up, man. You know what I'm saying? Something don't smell right. You know. So again, let's keep that in mind too. I know they drafted you know, Logan Foster again, who we didn't expect to be there, and that's a whole other conversation too because you had. I know you hate talking about Pittsburgh. You had Pittsburgh Steelers right there. And they passed him. So that tells me something, man. Like, why did you pass? They needed a linebacker. They passed over him, man. So I don't know, man. I'm just still kind of curious about that myself, man. But we'll let that kind of subside here, guys. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about as we get ready to shift gears out of football mode, guys? You good with that?
I'm good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I guess we'll get this nice little plug for the Chicago Cubs. And spend the rest of the time talking about NBA here. But what's the reason for the Chicago Cubs rough start, Rob?
Wow. I mean, this is obviously one of the teams who we thought was going to be the favorite after the season that they had on last season. And off to you know, a really slow start. And just from my observations, and I know JQ is a lot bigger baseball guy than I am, and he probably have a lot more insight into it. But just from my observations, their bats are just not getting going like they were last year, too. You know, that's one of the reasons I would have to say. I mean, just in an 18-inning loss to the Yankees this past weekend, I mean, they struck out 26 times. So they're not getting it done offensively. And then you look at the starting pitching. Not horrible, but not great. I mean, the starting pitching ERA so far this season is 4.51. So you got to look at the starting pitching. And then also, last season, they were the best defensive team in baseball by a long shot. And this year, they're one of the worst defensive teams in baseball. And so right now, they just, so far this season, when you look at their hitting, you look at their pitching, you look at their defense, they're an average baseball team at best.
Should I be scared to let you talk about this, JQ, bro?
Oh, no, I'm good. I mean, Riley was talking about he's not into baseball, then he rolled out all those stats about, like, ERA. And, you know, all he didn't talk about was on-base percentage. But he's right, and I think a bigger piece of that is that if you look at it before, Arrieta was not a dominant pitcher, and he hit a really 1-2 year run where he was dominant. I think it's starting to, you know, the mean, you know, regression back to the mean, so to speak, where he's starting to be more of who you thought he was. And the same with Kyle Hendricks, he's starting to be figured out. But I think the biggest thing that trickles down to all that is something that Pat Riley said a long time ago during the Lakers' heyday. It's called the disease of more. Once you start winning and getting, you know, national commercials and endorsements, you want more of this and that, and it starts becoming less about the team and more about you and what you can do for yourself. If you watch, you know, not saying that they're doing it, but you see the Rizzos and the Bryants and all that getting all this love, I still think they're in a hangover right now where they ended a 108-year curse or something stupid. It's a ridiculous number. And to do that and to be able to come back the next year fully focused right off the jump, I think it's a hard sell for that city, that team, that field to say we just ended that curse and then the next year we're going to come back just as hungry and be ready to get back on it. Those are the parting, basking in the glow like Luther Vandross, okay? So you got to give them a second. They have the team to still repeat it, but they got to get back locked in and focused. If they can do that, they have all the talent because that lineup is murderous.
I think that's a good call. Absolutely. Man. I know, Rob, both of you talk about just the fact that maybe they are in that sophomore slump, guys, because, yeah, this is a very talented squad, man. So, you know, I'll have to give you a lot of props on identifying that, JQ. All right, guys, nice segment. We're going to spend the rest of the 9 minutes talking about the NBA playoffs here. And I got to tell you guys, if you would have told me that watching the – I'm just going to talk about the Houston series because, number one, the way that Houston came out and blitzed the Spurs, you're thinking, ha, ha, ha. But for them to make a comeback, the way that they've been able to handle James Harden, you talk about – until even tonight, they were without, you know, Kawhi Leonard. He was kind of like hobbled because of injury. They were without Tony Parker. And I'm thinking, okay, this is it. But they somehow managed to pull out and eliminate the freaking Houston Rockets, man. So
that's not
I
don't
know. Out. You guys can kind of talk.
Yes.
I know.
They didn't pull that out. That's a whooping.
No. I'm talking about the fact if you looked at the squad as far as with, you know, with Leonard being, you know, because you don't know how they're going to play. But I'm just like, man, all right. You know, that was They kind of gave it to him, man. So, so I don't know.
It looked like James Harden's mind was not there tonight. That was really shocking. Obviously, I'm happy. You know, I was rooting for the Spurs. But
yeah,
come on, H-Town. You're in H-Town all the time. How are you rooting against the Rockets? You're supposed to be adopting the Rockets for the second team.
I know.
You know what's really funny? You know, spending a lot of time here in Houston. I think the most Spurs fans here are the Rockets fans, and that's not a joke either.
Wow.
Yes.
He there right
I run into
now,
more Spurs fans in this city than I do Rockets fans.
Dre, he there right now. He was still pulling
the Rockets. Real Houston Rockets fans, stand up, please.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, personally, I'm happy that Spurs won and moving on, but obviously this was I wasn't expecting this tonight without obviously without Kawhi Leonard, without Tony Parker,
Kawhi Leonard.
And with this team, the Rockets, I'm thinking they will be able to take care of business at home. But James Harden, I tell you, he did not look like the MVP candidate that we saw all season and really most of the playoffs. His game, he just looked like he was not in tune to what was happening in his basketball game. Just didn't have any interest. It was really weird. But like I said, I'm happy the Spurs won. And and so the Spurs are going to get ready to get whooped by the Warriors, unfortunately. And although I'll be hoping for a miracle.
I don't know. The Spurs have won the season series against the Golden State Warriors this year. If you want to see Golden State be pushed, them play the Spurs.
Two of those games,
I'm not saying they're going to beat the Spurs.
Yeah, one of those games, the Warriors sat the whole starting lineup, and the other one was the first night of the season.
That was their own damn fault. Anyway, they still lost the season series. I'm still laughing at Rob for being in Houston and rooting for the Spurs. That is hilarious to me.
That's pretty funny to have an argument.
but if you had said when the playoffs started that you're going to guarantee the Warriors a spot in the Western Conference Finals, who do you want to see them play that would give them the most bang for their buck and push them the hardest? Which team would you have picked the Spurs? So in terms of getting a really good in terms of getting a really good series out of the Warriors,
you would like to see a healthy Spurs team to give them.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know you're not going to have Tony Parker. They're saying Kawhi Leonard will play in Game One, and so it's not going to be. But if you look at the last 2 years, the Warriors have been to the NBA Finals. They didn't play the Spurs in the playoffs either one of those years. And,
correct.
So that should be real interesting. 2 years ago, the Clippers knocked out the Spurs, so the Spurs never got a chance to play against the Warriors. And last year, OKC took out the Spurs in the semifinal round. And OKC, of course, you know, had a 3-1 lead over the Warriors. Warriors came back and won the series 4-3. So we finally get to see this Warriors group against the Spurs.
All right, really quickly, we got 5 minutes. But I will say this, though. Like I said, I'm still tripping out, too, about what you said, too, JQ. But I will say, Rob, kind of on your point about James Harden, and this is where it gets outside of the physical, it becomes more of a mental game. Because like you said, Rob, something wasn't there. And mentally, you got to be able to, like, get your head in the game and, like, you know, carry this team on your back, bro. And it was not there. That's why – you know, that's why the Spurs are not going to be an easy out for the Warriors, because they're mentally tough. They're playoff tough. You know, Tony Parker, like, he's 40 years old, but that team is a great team, man. They have so much experience, man. You know, so that playoff stuff is going to help them out, man. But like you said, they're going to run into a Warriors team that has a little bit more firepower, which is going to be a challenge. But again, just kind of paraphrasing the differences between, you know, like a team like Houston. They're not mentally tough. They're not ready yet, you know. So whatever they have to do, you know, Harden, you got to step your game up. You got to get there, bro. You know. So that was a weird game, man. For them to get beaten like that, I agree with Rob. Something's not right, man. For this guy, I'm gonna score 10 points, man. That he was an MVP candidate, man. So I don't know. Crazy. Go ahead, man. Your call, JK.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. Move along. I agree. It's crazy.
Okay. Like I said, I'm going to give you guys a minute talking. You guys will talk about anything else as far as the playoffs, anything else you want to kind of, like, you know, what's happening with the Warriors and the
Draymond Green.
Celtics.
Talk about Draymond Green?
Okay. Go ahead, bro.
I want to hear what your thoughts on. I mean, the Celtics Warriors series has been stupid. It's all home teams. But Draymond Green, with the getting the sweep and talk about Cleveland's competition, and then calling Olynyk a dirty player when you kick dudes in the balls and been suspended.
Hey, man.
I mean, can we just say, hey, man, stop it. You can't say that. You can think it, but you got to tell one of your homeboys to say it. Like, am I wrong for that? Just help me understand, am I wrong for that? Like, dude, just be cool. We know you're on a good team, and you're a good player for a good team. But the things that you're talking about, you're not in position to talk about those things where you are.
Yeah. And here's my thoughts. First, with him talking about the Cavaliers competition. Okay, the Cavaliers competition was weak. What did they do against the competition? They went 8-0. They did what they were supposed to do against that competition. Mm-hmm. So, and based on what I'm seeing, I don't think Portland and Utah were that strong. The two teams that the Warriors beat. And you could almost make the same, but both of those teams did what they were supposed to do against the competition that they faced. If they are weak teams, what are you supposed to do? If you're a good team, you're supposed to sweep them, and that's what both of them did. So you got to give credit to both of those teams for doing what they're supposed to do. And then the incident with Kelly and Draymond, I mean, it's not even close. I mean, I even saw a graphic that ESPN put up, the number of technical fouls, the number of ejections between the two players. It's not even close. I mean, it's almost like the 114-75 game that we saw tonight between the two when it comes to being dirty.
48-63. It's TNT.
We are who they thought they were. We are who they thought they were, bro. Just stay straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, walking back in the door. Yep.
Hey, man. All right. We literally got about 2 minutes here. Rob, you want to talk briefly about tease folks about the mock draft coverage for the NBA, and then we'll get ready to wrap up the show, man.
Well, we'll get into it mostly on next week, people, so you definitely don't want to miss us on Wednesday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll try to squeeze in some more draft talk, but just a little teaspoon. No changes at the top. Markelle Fultz, point guard from Washington, going to Boston. Josh Jackson, swingman from Kansas, number 2 to Phoenix. Lonzo Ball going to your Lakers, causing all kinds of distractions. That's what I like.
Jesus,
yeah, the number
Christ.
Three position. De'Aaron Fox, point guard from Kentucky, number four to Philly. And number five, Jason Tatum, who I think has got a chance to be a really good player as well, small far from Duke, going to the Orlando Magic at the number five position. That's just a little teaspoon, people. But you don't want to miss us once again next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern time. Good night, people.
JQ.
Am I wrong for hoping the Lakers fall into the top three and have to trade that pick so Lonzo Ball don't go to the team? That's something different. I appreciate y'all for turning into it and listening to us. I like Lonzo Ball's game, but I don't like LeVar Ball's package, and that's going to be real tough to deal with. But good shout out to Rob for the NBA. I feel all those picks. I think that's what's going to happen. Enjoy it, fellas, as always.
Sure. Yes, sir. All right, guys. Be good. Have a good evening, man. We'll see you guys same time, Wednesday next week. Be good.
Yes, sir.